What would you say about a farmer who didn't plant anything, but he was trusting God for produce? You would say even God can't help you with no seed.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why we need to put feet to our faith.
God doesn't only respond because you have a need. He responds when he sees a seed. Don't tell God about your need unless you're willing to plant your seed. If you're not willing to plant your seed, then that means you're not trusting him for your need.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The Bible is filled with examples of the miraculous things that can be accomplished when God's people do His work His way. Today, Dr. Evans will focus on the rewards we can expect when we follow that example. Later on, I'll tell you how you can get Volume 2 of this sermon series on stewardship as our gift, so be sure to stay with us. Right now, though, let's join Dr. Evans.
I want to look at three principles today about your rewards in time. God wants you to expect to be blessed. No farmer plants and does not expect something to grow. You don't go through all that trouble and say, maybe it will, maybe it won't. God wants you to expect to be blessed. He does not want to demand it. He doesn't want you to manipulate him, but he does want you to expect it. In fact, that's how God is. Did you know God created you expecting to be worshiped? The Bible says he created you and me that we might worship him. So guess what? God had an expectation when he made us. Do you know that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died with a purpose, and that is that God might have a group of people who he could call his own and could gift to Jesus Christ. He did it with a divine expectation. Therefore, it is not wrong to expect. In fact, Proverbs 11:25 says in a very interesting way, a statement that I used to make as a boy growing up, and I still hear people make it today, and that is, what goes around comes around. You remember saying that growing up? What goes around comes around. Well, that's what he says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, and then he says in verse 25. Here's how it reads. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. What goes around comes around. That is, if God can trust you with what he's given you to be generous to others, as that goes around, God won't forget where it got started, and it'll come back around to you. If you water over here, God won't let your ground stay dry. If you keep somebody else's vineyard wet, he won't let your vineyard shrivel, because what goes around comes around. So expect to be blessed. Now turn your Bibles to a very interesting verse on this first point. Luke 6:38. He says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Giving is the way to receiving. That is the truth of the verse. Or to put it another way, if you want something from God, you must first give something to God. Give and it will be given to you. If you want something from God, you must give something to God. God wants to honor his children, but only if he is honored by his children. Most Christians have it backwards. They say, Lord, give to me, then I will give to you. And God says that's backwards Christian soldiers. God says, no, no, no. Give to me, and then I will give to you. But I want to focus on another word here. I want to focus on two other concepts in this verse before we move on. The first concept I want to focus on is the word in verse 38, the third word of the verse, the word it. Give and it shall be given back to you. Now listen to this principle. The principle is this. Whatever it is that you want from God, that must be the very same category of thing that you give to God. Whatever is the it, whatever the thing is that you need God to do, make sure that that same thing has been given over to God. And this goes back to the principle we talked about a few weeks ago. The principle of sowing and reaping is, if you want beets, you don't plant corn. If you want squash, you don't plant okra. If you want one thing, because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This goes back to the book of Genesis, that everything came up after its own what? Kind, okay? So what some people do is they want God to do A and they are giving B. No, if you want God to do A, what you must do is A. Now, a great illustration of that is the widow of Zarephath. She was hungry and needed food. What did God tell her to do? He told her to give food to Elijah the preacher. And when she gave food, she got food. Because when you give, it is the it that will be given back to you. If you need love, you must give love. If you need kindness, you must give kindness. If you need help, you must give help. Whatever it is that you need, that is the thing you go out and give, and whatever you give, it will be given back to you. When I studied, I said, oh, this is nice. This is nice. Because sometimes we're praying, Lord, give me a friend because I've been giving money at church. No, giving money at church only takes care of money. That doesn't take care of friendship. That doesn't take care of loneliness. You must give the thing that you want. Now the question is, where is it going to come from? Because I can't see it. Well, look at what verse 38 says. Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down. In other words, he will give back to you more than what you gave out. Because he'll press it down, he'll pack it so that you'll get more. Now watch this, shaking down, running together. Now let me show you another word that's easy to miss, they. It is the word they. You give, and whatever it is you want, that is what you need to give. And it, that very same thing, will come back to you from they. Now the question is, who are the they? Where are these folks, because they're people, pronoun, they, where are they going to come from and bring all of this stuff? Well, let me tell you a great secret. The book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 22, says that the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. God has got sinners out there waiting, don't know that this stuff that they have stored up really belongs to you. They don't know that they drive in your car. They don't know that they wearing your clothes. They don't know that they've been promoted to your position. They don't know it because they don't know God. But you say, wait a minute, because I don't know it either. Of course you don't know it. You know why? Because God doesn't give it to you until you first given it from you. Then he begins a process of transfer from they. From the sinners and the unrighteous, God will begin to transfer whatever his will is for your life. He will begin to make the transfer so that you get it back, and you get back more than what you gave from the they. Now, he doesn't specify what the they is because it depends on what the need is. But when I saw this, it just dawned on me, God is not limited to saints. God is not limited to saints because the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell in it. The Bible says the cattle is mine, the silver is mine. Haggai 2 says the gold is mine. God says it's all mine, even though sinners will be managing it. But the moment I see I can trust you, the moment I see that you're not going to rip me off, the moment that I see that I'm first, I can then go to the sinner and begin to take from him that which has your name on it. What a great concept, what a great God, what a great powerful God. And we gave illustrations a few weeks ago of how he gave the Israelites, the Egyptians money in order for them to leave Egypt. All through the Bible, I saw this principle just unfold. It is the principle of honoring God first and then letting God measure out and he determines what the measure is, what you shall receive. Ephesians 6:8 says, whatsoever good thing a man does, he shall receive the same. So as you can see, as I began to study this principle, it began to unfold more and more and more and more and more. To put it another way, if it's a leftover to you, it's a leftover to God. And some of us are not finding the things we're looking for because we haven't given it yet. Okay? So, expect to be blessed. It's the principle of the way the world works. Okay? Second thing I want to talk about is the nature or what you can expect. Let me talk about, said it generally, but let me get more specific. What are the blessings that God will give to those who are good stewards and who honor him? Remember the definition of blessing now. Blessing in the Bible is the enjoyment of God's divine favor. Blessing is not just having stuff. It is being able to enjoy the stuff you have. The Bible says it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he gives no sorrow with it. That's very important. So if you have stuff but not enjoying it, you haven't been blessed. See, blessing includes the enjoyment of it, not simply the having of it. Sinners can have a lot and be miserable. Christians can have a lot and be miserable. Why? Because they haven't been blessed. Blessed includes the enjoyment of what God gives. And that's why Paul says, I can be content in whatever state I'm in, whether things are up or whether things are down, because the man has been blessed. And when you've been blessed, you're happy in an apartment with God than in a house without him, because you've been blessed. Blessing has to do with not only having it, it has to do with the enjoyment of having it, so that the joy of the Lord is basically your foundation.
Well, Dr. Evans will illustrate that point with the help of some great words from a little boy when he returns in just a moment. Right now, though, he's here with this thought for us.
Folks, I wanted to come to you and just share my heart with you for a moment. I want to appeal to your kindness and to your sense of fairness. Has God been using this ministry in your heart, your life, your mind? Has he been challenging you, convicting you, correcting you, rebuking you, and also exhorting you? You know, we work hard to try to make sure that when you hear from us, you hear the unadulterated, uncompromising teaching of the Word of God. If God is using that in your life, would you join us? Would you join us and become a partner with us so we can keep doing this? Salvation is free, but ministry is expensive. So we can only do what we do if you help us. We definitely need your prayers, and we do need your financial support.
Staying on the radio is our largest expense here at the Urban Alternative, and we need faithful friends to help us continue our work. And if you get in touch with us and make your contribution right away, we'd like to send you Volume 2 of our current series on stewardship on CD as our thank you gift. We're counting on your investment in us so we can continue investing in you. This offer is only available for a few more days, so visit us at tonyevans.org right away for details on principles of Christian stewardship. If you're like most of us, you sometimes feel trapped by fear. Maybe fear about finances, failure, or the future. Really just about anything. Well, we'd like to offer you some practical help, absolutely free. Just contact us by tomorrow, and let us send you a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Let It Go. It explains why fear is sometimes more than just an emotion, but a spiritual stronghold designed by the devil to keep you trapped. This easy-to-read book explains how to break free, get rid of worry, and face future challenges with courage and confidence. There are nearly 100,000 copies of this popular title in print, but it's yours for the asking while supplies last, as long as we hear from you by tomorrow. So don't wait. Visit us at tonyevans.org or call 1-800-800-3222, where staff members are standing by 24/7 to help with your resource requests. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you a little later on. Right now, though, here's Dr. Evans once again with more of today's lesson.
A little boy one time was trying to explain what a trip in the elevator was like, and he simply said, I got in this little room and upstairs came down. What a great statement of prayer. Prayer is when you go into that little room and upstairs comes down. And that's what happens when we go in the face of God and we've been good stewards, upstairs comes down. The second thing that you can anticipate is needs met. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God gives more than you need when he answers your prayer. And turn to the passage read in your hearing today, Philippians chapter 4. Paul has already said his joy is not in his stuff. His joy is in the Lord. In fact, the whole book of Philippians is a book about the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. He comes to Philippians chapter 4 to congratulate the church at Philippi for sharing with him in his distress as he tried to preach the gospel. So they came to his aid as he tried to preach the gospel. Now, please notice the words here. In verse 15, he says, no church shared with me. Nobody helped me. Nobody gave. This is why, Oak Cliff, we cannot be an ingrown church. I'm going to talk about this next week. But we can't only think about our buildings and our program and our, we have to make sure that the word of God, the gospel of God gets out worldwide. We have to be bigger than ourselves. We cannot look after me, myself, and I, because then we become a hoarding church. You can have hoarding people, hoarding families, and you can have hoarding churches where nothing ever goes out. It's all kept in house. That's not stewardship. So what he expects of an individual, he also expects from the church. Paul says, nobody supported me. I was out here by myself in the ministry. He says, but you, in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone, you and nobody else. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once. You not only helped me, you helped me ongoingly. Now, please notice verse 17. Watch this. Not that I seek the gift, because I'm content whether I'm up or down, he says. Then why'd you tell him? But I seek the profit which increases to what? Your account. He says, I want you to give to me because it's going to help you more than it helps me. Because give and it will be given to you. So what could the Christians at Philippi expect from God because they had invested in the gospel and had invested in the kingdom of God and had invested in the ministry of Paul? Well, let me tell you what Paul says. Paul says, verse 19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He says, God has got your back. If you will honor him, and we've already seen it through the stewardship series, so many of you have begun already to see God work in your life because he was honored by you. And you can be at peace. You can rest. You can relax. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. Lord, I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to believe you have it covered. And you can say, I'm not going to worry. Emotional well-being. Even Isaiah 48 said it. He says, and you will be at peace, even in the storms of life. The final point I want to make is the point about the commitment that you must make for your blessing. God's got a blessing for everybody here. Yes, that doesn't mean you won't have trials and tribulations. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that even in them, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Turn to Genesis 7 to 14, closing passage. God made Abraham a promise that he was going to bless him and then make him a blessing, which was the covenant. But like all of God's promises, they don't come without opposition. So Abraham is in a war, but God gives him victory in the battle, even though he had the promise. So when God makes you a promise, the devil is going to come after you. There's going to be resistance to the promise. Now watch this. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now, he was a priest of God Most High, and Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, a priest of God, so that's the connection with Christ. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth, a tithe, of everything he had. He honored God. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give the people to me and take the goods for yourself. Get out of here, Abraham. You brought too much destruction for me. Leave the people and I will give you some more goods if you leave. More money, more power, more prestige, more clothes, more cars, more houses. I will give you more stuff. Just get out of here. Now look at Abraham's response. Now watch this. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I made Abraham rich. If you're going to try this stuff I'm talking about, if you're going to try God, God doesn't want you to try God and somebody else. He don't want you to try God and the lottery. Because God doesn't want anybody to get the glory for what he's going to do in your life but him. When you're a steward, God is your option. You don't have to compromise your options to get ahead. You say, but Pastor, God knows I have a need. But guess what? God doesn't only respond because you have a need. He responds when he sees a seed. You have a need, he wants to know, then where is your seed? You have a need, farmer, for some plants to grow? You want some rain? Aren't you going to plant something? Don't tell God about your need unless you're willing to plant your seed. If you're not willing to plant your seed, then that means you're not trusting him for your need.
Dr. Tony Evans, explaining why God's help comes when we put feet to our faith. And don't go away just yet, because he'll come back in a moment with a final illustration to wrap up our time today. Well, if you'd like to have an audio or video copy of today's message to hear again or pass along to a friend, just contact us for details on the title, The Rewards of Stewardship. And the name of our current series is Principles of Christian Stewardship, also available on CD or DVD. But don't forget that right now, for a limited time, we'll send you Volume 2 of this powerful series as our thank you gift, if you can help us out with a contribution of any size. Be sure to visit us at TonyEvans.org or call 1-800-800-3222 right away before this special offer runs out. And when you do, be sure to ask for your free copy of the book I told you about earlier, Let It Go. Remember, we only have a limited number of copies available, and this special offer runs out tomorrow. Again, all the details are waiting for you at TonyEvans.org. You can also call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, I hope you'll join us again tomorrow when Dr. Evans explains why your church is basically in the same business as the State Department. Right now, though, he's back to wrap up today's program with this illustration.
A man one day was in a desert, thirsty. He was going to die if he didn't get some water. He saw a little shack, and it was a jar of water by a well with a sign over it and said, stranger, if you come here, this water is not to drink. It is to prime the pump of the well. And then you will get more water than you could ever drink. Now, he's at a catch-22. He could drink the water and survive for a few days, or he could risk priming the pump. If he tried to prime the pump and the pump didn't prime, he not only didn't have the pump, he didn't have the water that he could at least drink and survive another day. But if he drank the water, it wouldn't last him very long. It would only last him a couple of days and he'd be back in the same situation again. He decided to pour the water in the pump, which expands the leather, which allows it to grip and begin to pull water up. He poured the water in and nothing happened. Began to sweat because nothing was happening. And there was no more water and he was dying. But all of a sudden he saw one drop, then two drops. And after a while the water was gushing. He was able to go empty everything he could find and he filled it all up. You know why? Because he took the little that he had and primed a bigger pump that had a lot more underneath than he could ever see with his own eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, underneath, God has got stuff you haven't seen yet. He's got a well down there that's bigger than your wildest dreams, but he's giving you a little and asking you, are you going to prime the pump? Or are you going to drink it all on you? Now, you can drink it all on you, but when it's gone, it's gone. If you prime the pump, you tap into me. That's the challenge today.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.